I believe I'm beginning to set a trend every time that I'm privileged to come to Newport News or Virginia, as it may be, that something always happened at North Carolina in Charlotte. This last time I spent the night there and got here the next morning, 45 minutes before it was my time to speak. This time, we were supposed to make it here an hour and a half earlier, prior to me speaking, but got here 32 minutes prior to me speaking again. So that's the trend that's starting in Virginia for me. But without further ado, I am so happy to be here. I'm so excited about Saturday. I'm so excited about this particular study that we have tonight. And the topic for tonight is bitterness. Bitterness. In the book of Hebrews, the entire book that is, the Hebrew Christians were experiencing persecution. And persecution is defined as intense hostility against one because of his religious beliefs or political beliefs or whatever the case may be. It's defined as bullying. It's defined as ill will towards another. When you think about persecution, the definition itself proves that it's something that I don't want to experience. It proves to be something that I want to stay away from. It proves to be something that I never want to encounter. But these Hebrew Christians encountered this persecution by the Judaizing teachers and also by their own family members. So throughout the book of Hebrews, now that they are experiencing this persecution, they are deciding now to quit, to return back to the law of Judaism. They're now quitting Christ. Christ has been gone for now, I believe, 30 or so years, and they're beginning to lose hope. Their hands have become weak, their knees are now shaking, and they can't walk a straight path. And now they want to know, well, what is left for me to keep going? What's the purpose for me to keep going? Why should I keep going? And the Hebrew writer begins to show them in Hebrews chapter 11, known as the great chapter of faith. He begins showing them those great men, those great patriarchs, and all the things that they done, that they had did in this life, and how that they overcome the various trials that they experienced. And he said, look at them. Notice what they overcame. Study those individuals' lives that you too may overcome. And then he begins to tell them to look unto the ultimate example, that being Jesus, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Run this race, what race? The race called life. Run that race with patience. I love word pictures, and I looked up that word in the Greek. I won't try to pronounce the Greek word. But there's something interesting there. We have a slang when we get angry and we say, well, I'm about to go off. I'm about to pop off, whatever the case may be. This original word means to set the timer of your anger longer, to suffer long. So whenever you're about to go off, you know, a timer, it eventually goes off because you have already set that time. And guess what? That time has to expire. But the Hebrew writer here is telling them to set it longer. Set your timer longer that you may endure this life, endure this race. And so now they began to experience the chastening of God. They began to experience the correction, the instruction of God. And no one likes to experience that instruction, that chastening at the moment. It's not joy, as the Hebrews writer tells us. It's not joyful. And while they are experiencing this chastening of God, they began to lose hope. They began to faint. And the Hebrews writer tells them, pick up your hands that have fallen. Straighten your feeble knees and walk a straight path. Correct the things that have beset you. What was going on in this time was this, the sin of unbelief. They were unbelieving in the word of God. They had forgotten the word of God. Though they had already been taught it, they knew about it, but they chose to forget the word of God. And now they are experiencing this chastening. And then notice, it brings us to our text here tonight, Hebrews 12:15. Hebrews 12:15. Now remember, they're experiencing this chastening of God, and the Hebrew writers tells them, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Adrian Rogers, the author of Love Worth Finding, said, and I quote, "The seed of bitterness is a hurt that is planted in someone. It may be intentional or unintentional. Someone does not mean to hurt you, but you were hurt. Sometimes the hurt is only imagined. No one has hurt you, but somehow you feel that someone has done something wrong to you." And then notice what he says. "There are also times when the hurt may be the very chastisement of God upon your life. Bitterness festers and hurt the entire man." When first approaching this study, I looked at the word bitterness and said, well, it's obvious what it means. And I remember telling Angela on the way to the church building that it's like a man looking at the ocean and saying, well, I get it. I understand. But then once you embark on the study, it's like a scuba diver that has now entered the ocean. That's how deep the study of bitterness is. And I'll compare the study of this study to a plant. So the first point being the germination of bitterness. First, the seed is planted. Something caused this, but we'll notice that later. But you have experienced a hurt, a disappointment, something. Something has happened in your life. Some type of catastrophe has happened. And now the seed is planted, but you haven't acted on it yet. So then now we must define it. What does bitterness mean? What's the definition of it? Well, bitterness is anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly. Remember what these Christians are going through. They were being persecuted. Jesus has been gone for 30 or so years now. They have lost hope. They are weak. They are feeble. And they're being persecuted not only by the Judaizing teachers, but by their own family. You tell me how they're feeling. Put yourself in their shoes. Try to understand. Get a literal picture of how they would have felt at this moment. Well, you know, under the law of Moses, I didn't experience this type of persecution. Under the law of Moses, I didn't have to worry about this. I'm going back. That is the case so often with Christians. After having left the old life of sin, once you become a Christian, some mistakenly think that it's going to be easier. And some mistakenly think that everything is roses. It's not. But we cannot make the mistake of returning. We cannot make the mistake of turning back to the old life of sin. Notice what else bitterness means, or is defined as. It is also defined as having or showing deep-seated resentment, an emotion which encompasses both anger and hatred. And then it says disillusionment. But then notice Jeremiah 2:21. Jeremiah 2:21. Notice what happened to Judah here. Judah was described as a vine, a fair vine of God. Jeremiah 2:21. And now they're going to be described as a degenerate vine. Notice what happened to Judah. Beginning at verse 20. "For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou sayest, I will not transgress. When upon every hill, high hill, and under every green tree, thou wanderest playing the harlot. 21, yet I have planted thee a noble vine, wholly a ripe seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" See, that now we're getting to the point when I said bitterness is more than just looking at the surface. Here, bitterness is described as turning away from God. Did you not know that forgiveness and bitterness cannot dwell in the same heart? It can't happen. Bitterness and holiness cannot dwell in the same heart, same body, mind, none of that. Bitterness here is described as a man literally turning his back on God. Apostasy. Bitterness is a symbolic. It's symbolic of affliction, misery. Remember what happened to Israel in the book of Exodus, chapter 1. How that they were put under such rigorous work, and their cry was known unto God. That's known as bitterness. Their cry was bitter. It was deep seated. It was more than just the eyes shedding water. This hurt came from within. See, bitterness is one of those sins that you can't see right away, but eventually you will. It's one of those sins that seems to hide, and then the person that you ask, well, what's wrong? They can lie to you and say nothing's wrong, and you can't tell at the moment, but it would eventually manifest itself. So notice this. What is bitterness? We just defined it, but what is it? Bitterness is often referred to as an epidemic amongst older people, unfortunately. They say, well, look at this grouchy old man. Or look at this cranky old lady. Well, no. Bitterness is an epidemic, a widespread occurrence of an infectious disease, but not just for old people. Notice these quotes. And here's the best one. I'll give you the best one. Joanna Weaver said, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Maya Angelou said, bitterness is like cancer. It eats up the host. Adrian Rogers says, bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves the soul in darkness. Bitterness kills its host. It's more than just face value. Look at Ephesians 4:31. Look at Ephesians 4:31. Now that we're defining bitterness, we want to know what it is. Now I can tell you this, bitterness is sin. Bitterness is sin. And when studying this with a group of young adults, one of them said in response, well, I never thought of bitterness to be sin. No one does. I never thought bitterness to be that bad. Well, no one does. But bitterness is in fact sin. Notice Ephesians 4:31. And the Bible reads, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. How do I know this is sin? Well, in this context, it tells us to put away anger. But look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. So then I know it's possible to be angry and not sin. That's in the context of sin. Here it tells me to put it off. It's not a suggestion, but a command. Put this off. And bitterness is included in this putting off. Bitterness is sin. Also notice Acts 8:23, Hebrews 12:15. In Deuteronomy 29:18-20. But not only is bitterness sin, and bitterness is an emotion, it is anger. Bitterness is a frame of mind. But here's what everyone knows. Bitterness is hurt. A deep-seated hurt. Andy Mineo, a guy that professes himself to be a religious artist, said, hurt people hurt people. That's true. Bitterness is misery. There's an old saying, misery loves company. Though a person is bitter, they may seem that they want to be alone, they don't want to be alone. They want to get everyone else to agree with them. They want to defile not only themselves, but others. Bitterness is jealousy. We heard from one artist, jealousy is a disease you can die mad. Bitterness is sin. There's a chart I have. I wanted to put it up on the PowerPoint, but again, complications with the flight. So I cannot place that on the screen before you. But the chart that I made was comparing the seed of a plant to the seed of bitterness. And going through the process of a plant and how that the seed is first planted. And then once the seed receives its necessary nutrients, the roots then begin to sprout and grow down. And then those life-extracting tentacles begin to suck life out of the soil, begin to pour life out of the soil. And that's the same with bitterness. Once it receives the necessary fillings, it then begins to sprout deep into the soil. What's the core of man? The heart. Once bitterness has taken root into the heart, it then feeds off of those necessary feelings. What feelings? The ones that we find in Ephesians 4:31 and in the book of Colossians and other places in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. Yes, sir. Those things begin to energize the bitter seed, producing the poison that will defile you and me. But then number two, notice this. The soil of bitterness is a heart that harbors hostility and does not deal with the hurt by the grace of God. When someone becomes bitter, the bitterness takes root in the heart and grows deeper. The world is full of people who have not dealt with an old hurt. They look for things to criticize, people to find with fault with, and ways to justify the way they feel. That's unfortunate. Instead of rectifying the problem and finding the solution to the problem, we rather try to justify our reasoning for the way that we feel. It's not about how I feel. It's about what's truth and what's wrong. It's about what's truth and what's a lie. Yes, sir. Bitterness is wrong. Bitterness is sin. I can't stress that issue enough. Well, why? Because most people don't know that. Most people won't even consider bitterness being a sin. Yes, sir. But notice this. Generally, they are bitter people, the ones that are hypercritical, the one that they have to talk about everyone. They have to say a word about each individual. They don't like the way you smell, the way you look, the way you act, the way you walk, the way you talk. You know how a bitter person look? How many of you ever smelt chitlins? That's the face of a bitter person. A bitter person is like looking at a person that just smelled chitlins for the first time. There's something wrong with that person mentally. And I'm not a psychiatrist, so I'm not going to try to get into the psychological effects of bitterness, but I can say this, just touching the surface of it, that they're now trying to pronounce bitterness as a mental disorder. I know they have this thing called PTSD. They're now trying to have PTBD or something like that. But they're now trying to say that bitterness is a mental disorder because of the effects that it has on its host. Do you know people in the Bible that were bitter? Remember Esau in Genesis 27:34. Turn over there. Genesis 27:34. What did Esau do that he knew that he shouldn't have done? Obviously, he didn't care enough about the promise of God, nor his birthright, that this man was willing to sell his birthright for some soup. And his brother took it, right? Genesis 27:34. Notice what happened there. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding, the KJV has, bitter cry. And said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. So now we know that this cry is a bitter one. Deep. He's really hurting right here. But we need to know what happens from this bitter cry. Notice verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And I can assure you, this was not a silent cry. He lifted up his voice and wept. He let it be known that he was hurting. A bitter cry. But then keep reading. 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shall thou live and shall serve thy brother. You think he wanted to hear that? And shall serve thy brother. Now he was already crying exceedingly. It was already, that cry was already described as a bitter cry. But then notice verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob. That's an effect of bitterness. He did it to himself. Why do you hate your brother? You chose to do that. Obviously, you didn't have enough respect. You didn't have enough remorse for the promise of God to Abraham, his birthright, to give it up, to give up your own birthright to your brother. But then notice the rest of 41. Because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. It does. Bitterness. We've defined it. We know what it means. But we just got a taste of what bitterness can do. Once the seed is planted, the seed has now been planted, the germination of bitterness. But now we're getting into the next process, the next stage of it. Once the seed is planted, guess what? Now you're going to allow it to remain there. And guess what? You're still going to think about the past hurt, the past depression, the past pain. Guess what? And now you have caused the seed to receive its necessary nutrients. And so now the roots of bitterness. The root of bitterness. What does a root mean? I know that everyone knows what it means, but just to make sure that we're on the same page, as a noun, root is the basic cause or source or origin of something. But then as a verb, root means to establish deeply and firmly. So then when you talk about the root of something, you're trying, in this context, you're trying to find the source of it. What caused this person to be this way? There's something wrong. I shouldn't take it lightly. None of us should take it lightly if you meet a bitter person. Because understand, they had to go through a process. They didn't just become bitter overnight. This took time. We were speaking about Brother Mosier earlier, and he said something in class that I will never forget. Right before we graduated, Brother Mosier told us, boys, when you get ready to go out into your individual works, whatever that congregation had been practicing for 25 years, don't expect to change it in 25 minutes. The best advice ever. I've only been at the congregation where I am now, Bellevue Church of Christ, for about a month. And I've experienced just a tiny bit of challenges since I've been there. And I'm grateful to be there, don't get me wrong, but that's some sound advice. To see what people struggle with and then try to change that instantly is not going to happen. Especially when talking about bitterness. Now that the root has taken place, guess what? The root is going to continue to do what? It's not going to go up. It's going to grow deeper. Deeper. And deeper. The more that I continue to allow that bitterness to harbor in my heart, the more that I continue to think on that past pain, that past hurt, those past feelings is only going to grow deeper. The word root here is depth. It means deep. When you think about the masculine noun for the word root, I won't try to pronounce that in the Greek either, or the Hebrew rather. It is often used figuratively. Notice this. It refers to the life-generating tentacles that a plant puts out in the ground, 2 Kings 19:30. But then in a figurative sense, it refers to the hostile attitudes found in persons that create strife and bitterness. Notice Deuteronomy 29:18. And notice what God warns his people against in Deuteronomy 29:18. Deuteronomy 29:18. And keep in your mind that we're thinking about this root of bitterness now. Deuteronomy 29:18. And notice what it says. Lest there should be among you man Or I'll tell you what, we'll start at verse 15 to get the context of it. But with him that standeth here with us this day, before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. 17, and ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone and silver and gold, which were among them. They've seen this. They've witnessed this. Now notice what he warns against. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Does anyone have any idea what gall and wormwood means? I got a whole 2 pages on that phrase alone. But just to shorten it up and to summarize it, it is extreme poisonous. To have gall and wormwood, sometimes it was used in reference to Israel's punishment from God. And then other times it describes extreme wickedness. So when thinking about bitterness and the root of it, once we taste the bitter root spiritually, we want nothing to do with God. We want absolutely nothing to do with him. Keep in mind, we're talking about what these Jewish Christians were going through back in that time. First, understanding why the Hebrew writer wrote to them. Well, why? To tell them that, first of all, Jesus is better. Second, to encourage them, to warn them against apostasy, and to warn them against bitterness, which is apostasy. You know, the unfortunate thing is this. It takes one bitter false teacher to lead an entire congregation to hell. And that's sad. You ask the man, well, why are you teaching this? Because he knows the truth. But why are you choosing to teach lies, false doctrine? Well, because members of the church didn't treat me right when I was teaching the truth. And these are real life examples. This stuff really happens. And you can't seem to get through to that person. Well, why are you doing this? Why are you continuing to do this? Well, the reason, the answer is this. They were hurt. And we already alluded to it earlier. Hurt people hurt people. They don't care how you feel. They don't want to know how you feel. All they want you to do is to agree and get on their side. And we can turn the whole place out. Bitterness is severe. It's a sin that one has to dig deep to find. It's a sin that we need to get out. But before we get any further into that, I want us to notice the identification of the root of bitterness. And this too was to be on the screen behind me, but it's a picture of the process of a plant, and that plant receiving is, or the process of a seed, and that seed receiving its necessary nutrients. And now we see the roots, or I see the roots growing into the ground. But notice this quote: the root of bitterness is underground, hence the root. It is easy to hide and camouflage. Seldom do you find anyone who will admit that they are a bitter person. They will either deny it or disguise it. A bitter person is a hypersensitive, ungrateful, insincere, holds grudges and has mood swings. When someone becomes bitter, the bitterness takes root in the heart and grows deeper. If I continue to feed it, guess what? It goes down deeper. If I continue to think on that past hurt, guess what? It goes down deeper. Have you ever watched these movies and seen when these actors or actresses are pacing around with a weapon in their hand, thinking about what they're going to do to this individual that has hurt them? What are they doing? Some people say, well, they're trying to pump themselves up. Well, in a sense, they're heading somewhere with that. They're trying to psych themselves out mentally. They're telling themselves, well, guess what? They know that it's not that bad, but they're going to tell themselves it's worse. It really is that bad. It's extremely bad. Why? So they can follow through. So they can provide themselves with the necessary justification that they need to follow through with that bitterness. To hurt someone. To cause them pain because they have pain. The idea of root of bitterness implies depth of poisonous growth. To locate the root of bitterness is to locate the source of one's bitterness. If there was a person here tonight that was bitter, what would you say was the cause of it? What made you that way? Was it something that someone said? Was it something that someone did? Was it the way that a person looked at you? Was it the way that your son or daughter talked back to you? Was it the way that you've been treated by fellow Christians? All of those cases of which you have not tried to speak on. Instead of speaking, no, just allow that hurt, that anger, that pain to grow until you become bitter. And once you become bitter, it's hard to become unbitter. Once you've been bitter so long and everyone knows that's the way you are, and then once you try to come out your shell and no one wants to have anything to do with you because you've been that way for so long. It's hard once you are bitter to become unbitter. Once everybody knows that they get all the spicy and juicy news from you because you know everybody else's business, or perhaps you want to just spoil their good name, which is also a case of bitterness, then they want nothing to do with you once you come out of it. Why? Because of the negative effect that you've had on so many for so long. But get this, bitterness is always connected with hurt, anger, depression, evil speaking, etc. Notice Romans 3:14. And then after that, we're going to notice Colossians 3:8-19. And other passages after that. But notice Romans 3:14. And what we're trying to do, remember, we're still on this idea of the root of bitterness, and we're trying to find bitterness group of people that it hangs with. In order to find out if I'm bitter, I need to know what causes it. I need to know the group of people that it hang around. Notice 3:14. Romans 3:14 says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now pause. I want us to get the entire context of this. I want us to know exactly what these Jews were doing. First of all, they thought themselves to be better than the Gentiles. And yes, the Gentiles were wicked people. Romans chapter 1. But then chapter 2, guess what? The Jews were no better. In chapter 3, Paul is going on telling these Jews, notice this, in verse 9, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And then notice verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Think about that. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Now, I don't know how many of you guys passed a dead animal on the road and failed and smelled that foul odor, the filth that's coming from that decaying carcass. Jesus likened the Pharisees to an open, or likened the inside of their bodies to a dead man. Remember in Matthew 23, Jesus said unto the Pharisees, on the outside you are beautiful. You're beautiful as a whited sepulcher. But what's on the inside of that? Dead man's bones. The Jews love to murder. They love to lie. When it came to wickedness, guess what? They dreamed about doing it in the morning. And then the Bible likens their mouth, the cursing, the filth that was inside of them, to bitterness. But then notice Colossians 3:8. Colossians 3:8, and please stay with me. We're still on this idea of the root of bitterness. Colossians 3:8. And here we're talking about, in the context, seeking those things which are above. And he's getting into putting off the old man, and then going into verse number 10 throughout the end of the chapter, we're talking about putting on the new man. But specifically in verse 8, notice what happened. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. This is never a suggestion in Scripture. Just because it says let all of these things or put off all of these things, it's a command. Once you put them off, you are to never put them on again. It's like replacing your clothes. Replacing the dirty clothes for clean clothes. But in the spiritual sense, remove those things which are in connection with bitterness. But then notice, the home of bitterness is always made in the deepest part of man, the heart. If bitterness has your heart, then guess what? Your heart is no longer with God. It cannot be. Deuteronomy 29:17-20. To control the heart is to control the man. Proverbs 4:23. But then notice this quote by Irwin Davis. He said, bitterness isn't one of those big, flashy sins that you can see growing above the surface of our hearts. It may not show off like anger or produce big chunks of rotten fruit like disobedience. Bitterness is a sleeper sin. It grows beneath the surface, down deep in the soil of our hearts. One author said, if you want to find bitterness, you better go digging. And that's the truth. You can see the person's face, and they can lie and say there's nothing wrong. But then you wonder why to yourself, well, why do you do the things that you do? Why are you the way that you are? That's just the way that I am. No, that's not the way that you are. Something happened, and we need to know why. You need to know why. You need to be able to solve that issue. Remember what was going on in the book of Hebrews. Now that they were receiving the chastening of God, it was not joyful for the moment. And if anyone has had a physical whooping or beating or whatever you call it here, you know that it wasn't joyful for the moment. Correction is never joyful for the moment, especially when it's physical. But they were receiving the correction of God. And instead of them becoming feeble and weak, the Hebrew writer tells them that this correction will produce holiness within you. It will produce peace. It will lead you essentially to heaven. Because God doesn't chastise us to do what? To make fun of us because he's mean? He chastises us for our good, or not for our good pleasure. That's what parents do. But God chastised us to help us. He wants us in heaven with him. God doesn't want us bitter but saved, 1 Timothy 2:4. If you are bitter, you may hide it from your peers now. You may hide it from every individual within this assembly right now. But guess what? It will eventually manifest itself. Hebrews 12:15 tells us that it will. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and defile many around you. So then the third point. Now that we have noticed the germination of bitterness. We have noticed the root of bitterness. Now we're going to notice the fruit of bitterness. So you have this process going, and I hope you stand with me. I know this is a lot. It was a lot for me. It still is, honestly. But there's a process going on, and the seed has been planted. That was the germination. That's the beginning process of it. And then now that the seed has been planted and the process has begun, because why? Because you or that person or that individual has not left the past hurt alone or gotten over. So now they've given it the necessary nutrition or nutrients that it needs to grow. Now the roots are in the ground. And the roots have gotten deeper. To the fact that now we're at the fruit of bitterness, guess what? Now it is about to manifest itself. Jesus said during his Sermon on the Mount, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Matthew 7, 16 and 20. See, fruits in this above context means moral characteristics, conduct, actions, your works, your acts, your deeds, what you do. I can know you by what you do. Some people say, well, how do you know he was a thief? Because I saw him steal. That's the meaning. You shall know them by their fruits. Bitterness, like a plant, begins as a seed that extracts its roots underground, which eventually manifests itself above ground. Bitterness will affect you physically. Here's why they are trying to get or say that bitterness is now a mental disorder. Notice what it does. It will affect you physically, emotionally, spiritually, because the fruit of bitterness is an acid that destroys its container. To allow bitterness to harbor in your body is to kill yourself, to commit spiritual suicide. It cannot harbor in our heart. Why? Here's why. When your heart is bitter, the word of God cannot dwell there. Why? Because hatefulness and holiness do not dwell in the same heart. And without holiness, we will not see God. Yes, Hebrews 12, 14. But now I want to do something interesting here. And this helped me understand it better. And I wish it was on the screen. But here, I want us to look at every individual word in Ephesians 4:31 while we still have a little bit of time left. Ephesians 4:31. And I know that we alluded to this passage earlier, but to help us get a deeper meaning, a deeper understanding of just how dangerous bitterness is, look at each word. Ephesians 4:31. The first, it says, let all bitterness, and notice that word, wrath. Wrath, to snort or to be angry, to rush along in rage, to be in heat, to breathe violently. I would ask the question, how many of you ever been to a rodeo or some sort? I can't think of the proper name for it, but where you watch a person with a red towel flagging it in front of the face of a bull. And what is that bull doing while that person is taunting him? He's getting back, trying to build up speed. And here's the literal picture of wrath. To snort, to breathe heavily with the nose, to growl. To go about in rage. How many of you know the Tasmanian devil? That's another picture of it. To just be in rage. This person is just all out angry. Extremely angry. This individual is a dangerous individual. To move impetuously, particularly as the air or wind, a violent motion or passion of the mind, a violent outbreak. This extreme anger gives place to the devil, who is contrary to God. Ephesians 4:26-27. Can we think of any individual in the Bible that gave place to the devil and went contrary to the will of God because he got too angry? But Moses. Moses did it in Numbers 20:10-12. Instead of obeying the will of God, guess what? He allowed the murmuring and complaining of the people to do what? To get to him. And he became too angry that he went contrary to the will of God. And guess what? Those people weren't punished, but he was. He was. This is the meaning. We get it now. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. It's possible, but guess what? They're so close. Be careful when you're angry. It's dangerous to be wrathful. But then notice the next word, anger, in Ephesians 4:31. Anger. This is a settled feeling, something that's within, an internal motion. Notice how it is described here. It is described as movement or agitation of the soul. Have you ever heard someone say that you aggravate my soul? You ever heard that expression? They're on to something. This is what anger means in this context. It's something that's internal. It's a violent passion, or can be in the human sense, but we know that when God was ever angry in the Bible, it was always justifiable. Remember that. I'm not saying that it was totally wrong all the time, especially when used in the context with God. It was always justifiable. But when used in the human sense, more so than not, it is wrong. And then think about the word clamor, the next word in Ephesians 4:31. Clamor is to cry out, an outcry, usually for public information. It's a tumult or a controversy to shout. How many of you remember what happened in the city of Ephesus? When all of those people screamed out to the top of their lungs for over the span of hours, "Great is Diana," over and over and over again. That's a picture of clamor. Controversy, tumult. But then evil speaking. Evil speaking, and I love this definition. This is the worst type of slander mentioned in Matthew 15:19. With false witnesses wounding someone's reputation by evil reports. You know, I've heard this before and I'll tell it to you. There's a difference between warning someone about someone and telling someone a rumor. There's a difference. I can warn someone properly about an individual. I can warn someone about a sex offender. I can warn them and their children not to take them to that individual. I can warn them about that. But to sit around and to go deep into the details of it when I know no details is a rumor. That's talking about someone. But then malice. Oh, malice. This took a lot. I really didn't know what this word meant. Malice means overflowing with wickedness, morally bad. This person eats, sleeps, and breathes wickedness. Remember Genesis 6, 1 and following, how that the imagination of their heart was only evil continually. Malice. Extreme wickedness. All of these words, all of these things play a part in bitterness. Notice this, and I'll say this quickly. A person that is bitter is not happy unless they are extremely angry with the world, harboring ill feelings about someone, talking about someone, or desires the worst for someone else. Bitterness is a sin. So when talking about all that bad stuff and talking about all the depressing news of bitterness, we need to know how to solve it. So the eradication of bitterness quickly means this. Jump right down to the end of it because we end at 8, right? With the grid. We ain't either. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So bitterness. So we understand that bitterness is sin. If allowed to germinate, take root, and bring forth fruit, it will consume its host and defile those around it. I love this quote, and get this. If we don't deal with bitterness, that bitterness will progress toward extreme anger. That's wrath. If we don't deal with anger, we will start to clamor or demand what we want. If that doesn't work, guess what? We will start to talk bad about the object of our bitterness in the hopes of recruiting others to agree with and justify our feelings. That's slander. If that goes unchecked, we will eventually have a desire to cause harm to the person we are bitter towards. All along the way, people are hurt, relationships are derailed, joy is stolen, and growth of the fruit of the Spirit is stunted. To eradicate bitterness, first of all, I must pull it up by its roots. How many of you have weeds growing in your yard? You know that to cut it off on the top means that it's going to grow back next week. But to keep it from growing, pull it up or yank it by its roots. For those who have struggled with bitterness or any case of bitterness, the same exhortation that the Hebrew writer gave to those Jewish Christians: seek peace with all men. Seek peace with all men. Remember the word of God. Refer to it often, for it can grant us peace. Remember who God is. He's the God of peace. His son, Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace, and his gospel, his message is the gospel of peace.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Remember that. That's how we pull bitterness up by its roots. But if we allow ourselves to refer back to hurt, to pain, to depression, to disappointment, then we're only expecting the roots of bitterness to grow deeper. There may be one here tonight who have been struggling with bitterness.
Yes.
And when struggling with bitterness, you haven't talked to anyone about it. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's because you know everyone and you don't want them to go out and tell your business. Well, hopefully it's not that way, and hopefully that is not the case. But if you're struggling with bitterness, friends, family, please remove it. Allow God, allow his word to grant you peace by studying those heroes of faith in chapter 11. The same exhortation that the Hebrew writer gave to these Jewish Christians: study those men, see how they overcame those situations in their lives. I can assure you this, most of those situations we haven't even faced, and they can help us. Don't allow bitterness to reign in your life. Please come if you have a need as we sing.
Okay, 780.